Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings, chapter 15. 1 Kings 15. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah. And he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Absalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had committed before him, and his heart was unwholly devoted to the Lord his God, like the heart of his father David. But for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem to raise up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord and did not turn aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, became king in his place. So the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa began to reign as king of Judah. He reigned 41 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Absalom. And Asa did what was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. He also put away the male cult prostitutes from the land and removed all the idols which his fathers had made. And he also removed Maachah, his mother, from being queen mother because she had made a horrible image as an Asherah. And Asa cut down her torn image and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly devoted to the Lord all his days. And he brought into the house of the Lord the dedicated things of his father and his own dedicated things, silver and gold and utensils. Now, there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from going out or coming in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold which were left in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hezion, king of Aram, who lived in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, as between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you a present of silver and gold. Go, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his army against the cities of Israel and conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Beth-Maachah, and all Chinneroth, besides all the land of Naphtali. And it came about when Baasha heard of it that he ceased fortifying Ramah and remained in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation to all Judah. None was exempt, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber with which Baasha had built, and King Asa built with them Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. Now the rest of all the acts of Asa and all of his might and all that he did and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? But in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. And Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place. Now Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin, which he had made Israel sin. Then Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha struck him down at Gibeathon, which belonged to the Philistines, while Nadab and all Israel were laying siege in Gibeathon. So Baasha killed him in the 3rd year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. And it came about as soon as he was king, he struck down all the household of Jeroboam. He did not leave to Jeroboam any persons alive until he had destroyed them according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. And because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned, and which he made Israel sin, because of his provocation with which he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. In the 3rd year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha the son of Ahijah became king over all Israel at Tirzah and reigned 24 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin, which he had made Israel sin. Amen. So you basically, during this time, we're just continuing going down the genealogies. And again, Rehoboam, Judah, Jeroboam, Israel. Judah, southern kingdom, good. Okay, Israel, northern kingdom, bad. I always say bad, but the kings are bad. and every single one. And now you see in the southern kingdom, the Judah, back and forth. Some were good, some were bad, some were good, some were bad. And it kind of flip-flops back and forth through this. There's not a lot in this passage, but we'll go through a little bit here. Number one, notice first of all that we're talking about Abijam. Apparently his name was Abijah before that. And the Jah, meaning the name of God, that's what they call him. And so he actually started out pretty good. He was a good kid in that way. But as he grew into adulthood, it became apparent that he was not a follower of God. So they changed his name. And so they got rid of the Jah, which is represented the name of God. And they gave him the name Abijam instead. And he was, I guess, the great grandson of David. Absalom was his mom's father, so he's a grandson of Absalom, and he walked in all of his all the sins of his father had committed before him, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord God like the heart of his father David. But look at verse 4. But for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem to raise him up, to raise up his son after him, and to establish Jerusalem. I mean, think about that. Abijam is not a good guy, and he walked in evil ways, didn't follow the Lord with his whole heart. But yet, the Lord did not extinguish his flame. Whenever you see that phrase, his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem. It represented his life. A lot of times it represented prosperity. Remember in the book of Revelation, it says to the church in Laodicea that I will remove your lampstand. Remember that whole idea? And that meant generationally, that meant your lineage, that meant heritage, and all these different types of things. So this theme or this motif is actually carried out throughout the whole of the Bible. And so, but for whatever reason, remember, now we're going to read about Jeroboam in a little bit, but Jeroboam was totally wiped out, if you remember. And that was a prophecy that Ahijah had given, and that happens. But in terms of the house of Judah, they were not wiped out. And because of David, this is the hope of every father that's here, and mother too, obviously, because, you know, we are one. That our righteousness is so intact. You know, obviously what God is doing in our life, it's not our righteousness, it's God working in us. It is so intact, it is so pleased God, that even generationally down the road, even if we have grandchildren great-grandchildren, so this is talking about the grandchild of David. And because of David, so David's son Absalom, you know, didn't do a really good job. And then his father, and then his son comes into the mix here. And even though did evil in the sight of the Lord, God still preserves him. And God still shows him some favor in that regard. And this is, if you've been around church, you know, we talk about this quite a bit of times. This is what we call generational transfer. There's something that I've done. There's something of the righteousness of God working in my life that it affects the next generations after me. That there's blessing and prosperity and all those things that flow. You know, a lot of times in spiritual warfare, we hear a lot about generational curses. You know, it'll go down between the third and fourth generation, and so on and so forth. And a lot of times, spiritual warfare people focus so much on that, cutting off the curses and all that kind of stuff. Well, let me give you the flip side of that. I mean, yeah, there are generational curses and all that stuff, and I mean, prayer and repentance take care of those things. But imagine and just think of the blessedness of the generational blessings that come. That you are blessed because of your father's father or something to that effect, you know. And, you know, I mean, Pastor Nate is in the room. And, I mean, you guys know the story. He's, when he first came to SP, he didn't want to be in ministry, you know. He wanted to be a teacher. What a waste, huh? I mean, nothing wrong with teachers, okay. But I'm talking about what a waste in terms of, you know, God had so much more in store for him. If you're a teacher, bless you. That's a wonderful profession. That's not what I'm talking about. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But for him, that wasn't his calling. And he was really reluctant to go into ministry. And so, but then when I heard that his mom and dad, that they go pastor's line through like four, is it three or four? Is it four generations? Hey, stop talking to your wife. And is it four generations, right? Fourth, yeah. So he's a fourth generation. And when I heard that, I just knew, dude, you need to be a pastor. You know what I mean? It's like, don't waste your time teaching or, you know, whatever the case may be. Imagine all the blessings, you know, that flow down. I mean, it is amazing when you think about that. And this is on both sides, mom and dad's side. And you can see just the faithfulness of God that is really flowing down. You know, yesterday I was having a talk with one of our church members, and we're talking about the Middle East. And particularly we're talking about Turkey. And we're really getting excited for what God may do in Turkey because doing some research, we realized, you know, most of Turkey obviously was Christian. Turkey was the beginning, you know, that's the early church. Ephesus, Laodicea, Colossae, those are all Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. When you think about that, you see all these places, and when the Ottomans came and invaded Turkey, you know what ends up happening is they force people. It was basically conversion by the sword. And they force people to convert to Islam. These were Christians now we're talking about. And so there's this seed of Christianity that's there. And I guess some missionary went and started doing some research and looking in. And a lot of these people, these Turks, they have this seed of Christianity. In other words, there's a generational blessing that's there. Obviously, you know, the conversion by the sword kind of turned them away. But can you imagine the spiritual bedrock that's there? And that the Holy Spirit showed up and came, that revival would break out in the land. I mean, it's pretty exciting when you think about that. And so there's a well of faith that's there between, you know, great grandparents and, you know, generationally throughout. I mean, obviously, that was in the 8th century. And so there could be a generational transfer that happens in that place. And so, you know, it makes me kind of ramp up my prayers for Turkey in that way. And I just mentioned that because I just spent, you know, a couple nights there. And it's amazing of how that works. And we see how it works in this place. You know, when I was in seminary, I knew this pastor. And he's I'm not going to say his name, but he's one of the most famous pastors in Korea right now. And in seminary, the guy was the biggest jerk, man. I know it's his pulpit and stuff, but the guy was a jerk. And nobody liked him, you know. And I mean, this is among the Korean students at Fuller. You know, I was Korean, but I was in a different crowd, and everyone despised this person. But man, this person did well in States, and then went to Korea. He's now a pastor of this mega church, and now there's all kinds of problems that's happening. And you know, you sit down and says the only reason he's actually like fifth generation pastor in his family, and even though he's got some serious moral flaws. I mean, I don't know if this is a good illustration to share, but God still blesses him. It's just this uncanny thing, and it's this generational transfer. Even though Abijam is not walking in the faith of David, he says, but because of David's sake. You know, my prayer is, Elise's son's son, you know, down the road, or Andrew's son, or, you know, son's daughter, or whatever the case may be. And maybe at that moment, they don't really have their life in God in order. I mean, I pray that they would, but if that happens, that God would still protect my granddaughter, you know, down the road because of the way that I live my life today. And this is what he says. He says, read verse 4. But for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem to raise up his son after him and establish Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. Now, it's a good thing to know that we can also make mistakes. You know what I mean? So he makes a note. Yeah, okay, yeah. Uriah, yeah, that was a really bad situation. Remember, that was a whole Bathsheba adultery, and then he murdered. I hope that none of us have done anything remotely as bad as that. But even in that case, it's true what the Lord says, that he forgives our sins. And even though he messed up and that kind of stuff happened, we see just the favor of God upon him because of because he walked in the way of the Lord. You know, brothers and sisters, it does matter how you live your life today. It does matter how you live your life today. It has ripple effect, I would say, into eternity. It has a ripple effect upon your generations. And if you can't give a, I mean, if, listen, if you don't have the motivation to get your life together for yourself, be motivated to get your life together for your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids and so on and so forth. Isn't it a blessing to know that God preserves Abijam in that line because of David, because Grandpa was so faithful. He was such a man of God. He obeyed the Lord in what he did. And as a result, even if his grandson's an idiot, God still protects him. And he makes sure that his lamp is not snuffed out. I can't think of a greater reason to start walking in the ways of the Lord in the righteousness of God today, right now. This generational transfer. You know, I mean, you're gonna realize that every single one of us, we have an anointing. We have something that we want, that God wants us to pass down to our successors in that way. And so you have to think of it this way. You can either pass down blessing and good things, or you can pass down all of your issues. You can pass down all of your stuff. It's you see generationally, alcoholics beget alcoholics, and so on and so forth. You know, abusers. It's just uncanny how it goes down the line. You know, and you hear these and you read these stories all the time. And you know, here's maybe a daughter comes into a home and the father abuses the wife. You know, and you know, cheats on her and all these things, and she grows up saying, "Oh, I'm never gonna marry someone like my dad." And then, sure enough, what is she? She ends up also marrying a wife beater, adulterer. Why? It's a generational curse. You're so moved, and the brokenness just leads them into that path, and so we see how that works negatively. Imagine the possibilities in terms of blessing that happens. And so it does matter how you live. It does matter how you treat your wife, you know, or how you treat your husband. It does matter how you treat your parents in that regard, you know, your mom and your dad. And we see that happening. I shared this story years ago with my nephew and my sister and brother-in-law. My nephew came and moved in with me. And my nephew, I mean, his sweetest, kindest, you know, can you imagine? He's actually in college now. Man, I'm getting old, man. But he was like 1-2 years old when he came to live with me. And during that time, he was so nice to me. He was so nice to my sister, you know, his mom. But whenever there was any interaction with the dad, he was just rude. I mean, just little kid, but just rude and angry and upset. And I sat there and I was like, what's, and this is when God was teaching me about generational transfer. I was like, what's going on here? And then I did some probing, and of course, my brother-in-law, Brian, man, he's rude, because you hear the phone conversation, he's rude to his dad. He's like, you know, like screams at his dad. I mean, there's no respect, no honor whatsoever. And of course, there's going to be generational transfer, the negative anointing, you know, or no anointing whatsoever. That goes down, and it was really, really sad situation, and you can see how these things work, right? So let's close our eyes. Sorry, I didn't even get into Jehoshaphat and all these guys, but let me do real quick. Good thing is Asa, the next king, comes in and he does right in the sight of the Lord. In fact, I know it says his mother is Maka. This actually more means queen mother. It's his grandmother. And so, and because she's still like alive, and so that they have this royal lineage in place. But this is how holy he is. He removes her because she does these horrible things in this idol worship. And so he does right, but notice, but he still doesn't remove the high places. He lets the secret things just still happen. And then you must know there must be a tremendous amount of warfare and all these things go on. But okay, let's move forward now. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. What are you passing down? Are you passing down your anger, your bitterness, your unforgiveness? Are you passing down your joy in the Lord, your faith? Don't you love it when Paul is talking to his spiritual son Timothy, and he reminds him about the faith of his mom and his auntie and his grandma? I think it's the grandma. And says, remember when they laid hands on you, and remember their faith? Man, Timothy is walking in generational transfer. Listen, we're going to pass down something. It's either our addictions or it's the grace of God over our lives, the favor of the Lord. We could pray for it, of course, and get healing, which you should. It's a must. A lot of it, he says, he did right in the sight of the Lord. A lot of it is how we live our lives and how our heart is wholly devoted to the Lord. The best thing that you can do for your kids is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all of your strength. And to love your neighbor like yourself. That's the best thing you can do for your kids. Don't be so enamored with getting to good schools and, you know, all that kind of stuff and feeding them organic food. Don't worry. The best thing you can do for your kids is to love God with all of your heart. The best thing you can do for your kids' kids is to love God with all of your heart. Generational transfer.
More than yet.
Let's pray. Let's pray for Holy Spirit initiative and influence in our life, that we may do what's right in the sight of the Lord. That we may be faithful like David. Yeah, David still made mistakes. We still make mistakes. But that we'd be faithful, and it would affect generations. See, it's not just about populating the earth, but it's about populating the earth with righteous offspring. And let's pray. Let's pray in that way. Let's pray, Lord, give me the heart, give me the motivation, the faith, the will, God, to do what's right in your eyes. And let that affect not just my life, my kids, but my kids' kids' kids, and so on and so forth. Let's lift up our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Let's go over our community that's battling through cancer and going through therapies. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community. They're battling through battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for healing, physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling through non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. And let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus today, and let's pray for Singapore, and let's pray Holy Spirit would breathe His wind over this country. Let's pray for our church, SPSG. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim. Ask the Lord to continue to use him and lead him. Pray for the board and the leaders that will continue to grow just be used by the Lord. Let's also pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for the most populous Muslim nation in the world. Let's pray for Spin. Pray for Pastor Salamat and his family, the ministries here in Hong Kong, and also the trip that's coming up this summer in Indonesia. Let's just ask God's hand upon them. Also, as we pray for SPSG, their retreat is coming up next week, and so we can also cover that too. Let's pray for our prayer and healing teams. Pray for IP, the well, and the river. Pray for our leaders and our volunteers and everyone that goes through these ministries to receive prayer. Let the Holy Spirit just really manifest so powerfully. And pray for protection for all the ones that minister and pray, and ask the Lord to use them powerfully. Let's pray for our education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SP Youth. Pray for our pastors, pray for our teachers, our volunteers, and obviously the students. Let's pray that they would really encounter the Lord in these gatherings. Let's pray for our outreaches tonight, SP Lights and the Homie Outreach. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead our teams, and there'll be divine appointments. There'll be a lot of grace covering them, a lot of protection. Let's pray that everyone they encounter, that they would get a sense of who God is and be able to speak life into their lives. Let's pray for Elements and Olympic House Church tonight as they gather together. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to breathe life into the leaders, into every person that comes, that every person would really encounter the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. God, thank you for your word today. Thank you again for your reminder, Lord, of the importance, God, of being holy before you. Lord, your word says, be holy for I am holy. God, and so help us, God, to walk in the heart and the nature of who you are, God. Lord, it matters how we live our life today, God. It matters not just for us now, Lord, but for our generations to follow. And so help us, God, to be like David, Lord, that you would remember us like you remember David. And so thank you, Lord. Just watch over us today, God. Lord, we want to give glory to your son, Jesus. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.